Have you ever tried to watch the football on the weekend, but you can't find the game? Or you want to watch a big fight on the weekend, but you don't want to spend a fortune on the pay-per-view? Or what about the latest TV series that isn't out in your country yet? Well, a VPN is the way to go to solve all of these issues. And the one I use is Proton. Now, Proton is a Swiss company founded by a team of scientists with the goal of building a better internet. And they have 100 million people using their service, with a network of over 4,200 servers in 91 countries. So you can log in and connect to a region all over the world. So once you've signed up, the browsing experience is super quick, and they don't limit bandwidth, so you know the connection will be smooth wherever you are. All of your information is kept private, and there is no monitoring of your browsing activity. And I'm not a tech genius, and I find it super easy to use. One of the best features is the integrated ad blocker, which helps so that when you're reading articles, you're not bombarded with pop-ups all the time, or other websites for that matter. But by far the best thing for me about this is the access to sport. So if you sign up the Proton VPN using my link in the description below, you will get 1 month for free in the 12-month plan. And if you sign up for 24 months, they'll give you 3 months for free. So check out the best VPN that I've ever used using the link in the description below.
If there is to be a City slip, there could be a chance for Liverpool to capitalise again. I mean, I do look at the remaining fixtures now. I think Liverpool have got the easiest fixtures to go now. So they're not out of it. It's not done.
Do you know what's ironic, right? There was a point a couple of weeks ago when Liverpool were having key injuries stack right up. And that was when they seemed a bit more free-flowing. Now They've got Salah and Nunes and a couple of other key injuries back. That's when the goals have dried up. And it's funny, after the Man United game, how many Liverpool fans did you hear saying, yeah, we miss Jota so much. He missed a couple of sitters yesterday. When you got Darwin Nunes up front for you, although Darwin Nunes is having a decent season and like the numbers are pretty good, I read a stat yesterday, is 10 out of his last 110 shots he scored. So 110 shots, he scored 10 goals. That's mad. Like, that's not, if that's going to be the guy that goes and gets your goals, which at the moment, you know, it's not like Salah's banging him in for fun like he has been. That's going to be the guy that goes and gets your goals.
Yeah.
Then you've got Jota coming off the bench and he's looking wasteful. It's just not enough, because to be the way Liverpool have been this season with the key injuries they've had is remarkable, really. But you need that extra bit to go and get you the title. And it's games like that, fine margins, like the Crystal Palace one. And it's funny, we earmarked that game when we were predicting the running. There was always a little bit of jeopardy about that game. I look at the pass between them. There was the time under Brendan Rodgers. They went 3 goals up and Crystal Palace came back 3-3 and blew the title for them. And it's like history repeating itself.
Mate, history did it almost repeat itself when Van Dijk slipped. I thought, fuck me, like, what the fuck are we watching?
Gerrard flashbacks.
Mate, when I was watching it, I was like, it's going to happen again.
Well, I'll tell you what though, we do have to give credit to Palace. Like, I think this is something that, in terms of like football punditry and in terms of football media, so often it's like, well, what did the big team do wrong? No. The smaller team, mate, Palace were fucking great yesterday.
It wasn't a smash and grab.
No, when Mateta went through, I thought it was going to be 2-0. Mm. And Glasner, since he's gone into Palace, like, he's come in, he's changed the way they play. They're back three yesterday. They're Jefferson Lerma in there. They had Nathaniel Klein in their back three. He switched the style of play so fast. They've been playing Hodgson ball for what, 18 months, 2 years? He's come in, changed the way they play football. I think it's only the fifth time that Elise and Eze started a game together yesterday. Mm. Fuck it, mate.
The passes for the first goal. All right, Liverpool made it easy for them. They gave them so much space, but they were perfect.
It's beautiful football, really, man. You have to really credit that. And I think those mid-table clubs sometimes, they get stuck in a thing where they hire like a European manager, a bit younger, who's got a nice style of play, and they do a bit of that, and then it gets a bit fragile. They concede a few goals, they lose a few games, they panic, they get another one of the old English manager brigade in who comes in and plays a bit of Brexit ball to get a £5 million payoff when he keeps them up, and they get stuck in that cycle. Do you know what I mean? We've seen it with Palace a lot.
Yeah.
And I hope they stick with Glasner, because he plays really good football, man. And we look at Palace, they've got some really exciting players in there. You have to give them a few flowers. And what you were saying, Joey, about, I mean, fair fucks to you guys if you predicted them dropping points here, because I looked at Liverpool's fixtures and I went, you know what, they ain't losing a game at Anfield. Maybe away from home, maybe around these fixtures where they're playing in Europa and they've got to do two in a week when they've got so many injuries. I didn't think they were going to lose a game at Anfield.
Do you think the reason why though is like they've relied on individuals at times this season to really get them through games? And with Mo Salah coming back from AFCON, he's never looked the same. And and that's natural, right? Like his ridiculously high standards to try and continue that, it's almost impossible. And it's just time. Like,
remember though, he also got injured.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bit of a dubious injury. Everyone thought maybe he just pulled out to help Liverpool with the... But it does look real. A lot of the players that go to AFCON when they come back, like even at Spurs, Sarr and Basuma haven't been good. But you know what's funny? You have to give Palace their flowers 100%. If you go to Anfield and walk away with a clean sheet and they haven't lost there all season, flowers all day, have your roses. However, if you look at the stats, and I know stats only tell one side of the picture, they had like 70% possession, Liverpool, 700 passes, 21 shots on goal. To me, they were just wasteful. And I've never been the biggest fan of him, and people have slaughtered me for saying it, but I don't rate Darwin Núñez the way everyone else does. I think he's the weak link in that attack. I'm not going to say he's the weak link in the side. He's still young. He's got time and he will improve 100%. But even that Man United game, I tweeted it during the Man United game. He was the weak link. He was missing shot after shot. He was disrupting the flow every time they got the ball forward. He's a frustrating player because you can see there's something there with him. Do you know what I mean? He's always busy. He's always a nuisance. But Diaz and Salah, well, we know Mo Salah's Mo Salah, but Diaz is on a different level from him. Like everything that goes through Diaz is usually positive and comes off. Darwin Núñez, for me, is by far the weakest component of that attack right now. And if they had someone just a bit more, even just like 15% better in that position right now, I think they can go and win the league.
I think it's balanced. For me, I hear what you're saying about Núñez, but I think you can accommodate a Núñez if you've got clinical finishers around him, if you've got cool heads around him. I think in a front line, you want ice and fire. You want someone like him who, as you say, it's nuts. It's like someone's let a dog off the leash. Do you know what I mean? he's just running. Just go, go, go. It's like he's trying to fetch a ball that isn't there half the time. And like we've watched him. We've sat around this table watching games and we've counted 10 shots in the first half of a game. And he misses 9 of them. You had a stat about this, didn't you, Joey? Was it like he scored 10 of his last 100
10 of
shots?
110.
Mate, but I think the problem is, and by the way, Mo Salah's been one of the best forwards in the league for the last 10 years, 5 years, whatever, but I think he's actually a similar style, Salah. Like if you look at the players who've missed the most chances in the league over the past 3 or 4 years, Salah and Haaland are right up there. Salah's a similar player to Núñez in the sense he's a volume finisher. He doesn't finish every single chance clinically, but he has 5 or 6 shots a game. And I think the problem is when you've got two of them in your front line, and if you're pointing your finger at anyone yesterday, it's Cody Gakpo for me. I think that was one of his better games yesterday, but his output since coming to Liverpool hasn't been what you'd expect.
It's been a bit of a flop. I think that's a fair assumption. And also, as much as I rate Diaz's play, like Craig said, finishing wise, he's not
his
great.
Numbers aren't there. Yeah.
So then you say that three, because I was going to say about Luis Diaz there. You got three there. You got Mo Salah, who's come back from AFCON and he's not firing. Darwin Núñez, you never know what you're going to get. More often than not, you're not going to get a striker that's putting up 20 league goals a season. And then Luis Diaz, how many sitters have we seen him miss recently? Yeah. He's good, well, but he does miss a few. You're not going to win the league with that front line.
You mentioned goals. The amount of shots. I counted the last three games. They've had 68 shots and scored 2 goals.
Just they're not clinical. Yeah. They're not as clinical.
And you know, on the run-in, we were talking about Arsenal and Liverpool, more so than City, needed big game players to step up.
Yeah.
And in the reality is, for Liverpool, they haven't really. Mm. And I feel like, actually, I don't know if you agree, but that FA Cup defeat to Manchester United, I think it took something out of them. I think when you go to the death like that and you give every last blood, sweat and tears that you've got and Man United steal it, and then Man United stop you again, despite how lucky Man United were, mentally, there's a lot to be putting out and not a lot of returns.
Do you know, like last season when it was the run-in and Arsenal were winning games 3-2, 4-3, things like that, and you were looking at it and... If you're one of them players, like when you keep having these moments, you probably believe you're a bit invincible. You think it's always going to happen. At some point, sooner rather than later, it's going to happen. And then when the harsh reality of being brought back down to earth and you do suffer a loss hits home, then it's about how you come back from that. And I think very much so, like with Liverpool, they were probably understanding that we shouldn't really be here. Like we shouldn't be pulling off these wins that where the odds are stacked against us or whatever with the injuries we've got and, you know, the squad that is still settling in some parts in the midfield, especially. I think that the momentum that they were having from winning those games would have been what was driving them over the line. And then now they've had the reality check of the losses. No one saw them getting beat 3-0 at home by Atlanta. You know what I mean? And now they've got to go and avenge that. I just think it's at this point in the season, we were all wondering how it hadn't happened up to that point, and they did really well to hold out. And now the weight of everything that's going on is weighing really, really heavy on them. And I just think that they're crumbling a little bit now.
On that, lads, obviously, at the start of the season, none of us would have put Liverpool as favourites or title challengers even. We considering Newcastle finished higher than Liverpool last season. So they get themselves in a title race. They're in pole position. We argue that they probably had the best fixtures. It's collapsed. Looks like it's collapsed. And look, if City fall, fantastic for them, but it doesn't look likely right now. Would this be classed as a bottle job?
That's hard. That's harsh, isn't it? You look at, I think the mitigating circumstances for Liverpool is they have had injuries. I know a lot of other teams up and down the league have, but if you look at some of their best players, they haven't been available. Mo Salah was out at AFCON as well, and then also gets injured. They have had to play quite a lot of young players as well, and the young players have definitely stepped up. And actually, to say that they're even in this position with those young players and with the pre-season form that we thought they were going to have, you have to say, actually, it's a bit of an overperformance. So to say that they bottled it when they're 2 points away, let's be honest, guys.
The argument for why, just so that you have that to answer, is expectations change when the scenario changes. And if you're in a position where you've managed to accrue all these points, the finish line is in sight, and there is some people online, not me, to be fair, as much as I don't really like Klopp as a bloke, I think he's a hell of a manager, saying that Klopp now, when you look at his legacy, you're looking at when he does get into the finish line, sometimes it or if he's close enough to get one hand on the trophy in finals and other things, he struggles. I'm not saying that's my opinion.
I think you're going to have to then level that at the manager. And I know that's controversial, but that, because his record, even up until when he won the Champions League in 2019, his record in finals was horrible. Like, he had this like thing where he couldn't win finals. But I'm not going to get onto Klopp too much. I think the original question, have Liverpool bottled this title? Nah, I think that's harsh. I say bottling the title is when there's a certain amount of points ahead that you are. Mm. Do you know what I mean? There's like, it's always been tight this season between Liverpool, Arsenal and Man City. And I think any one of them, like, you just maybe draw or whatever, you can switch positions. I think bottling is like,
what happened last season
with Arsenal? That is, it is what bottling is, because they were like basically top for the whole season. There was a nice little cushion at one stage.
Five points.
That's what I mean. Like, two points, one point. Like, that's,
and
that's
when hard. Liverpool went top, they still weren't the bookies' favourites to win.
We've used this word bottle too often.
I agree.
But sometimes it's justified.
No, it's never justified.
I do think you do need to take it back to the start of the season and think about your pre-season expectations. Because if you said to someone at the start of the season, right, you're not going to get either of your two main transfer targets in midfield, thank you very much, Chelsea, you're not going to get either of them. Also, Mo Salah's numbers are always really good, yeah? But we don't think this is one of his, this is probably his third best season for Liverpool, maybe fourth. Like, it's not one of his best seasons. It's not vintage Salah this season. If you said all of that, and then you said, I get that it doesn't feel good at the minute, now down in third. But if you said all of that and then said, right, you'd be 2 points off City with 4 or 5 games to go or whatever, you're going to take it.
We're taking this now, by the way, that Liverpool are out of the title race. Do any of us actually agree that Liverpool are completely out of it?
No way.
To see their fixtures again. I'll
speak to you about their fixtures, right? Because I think by this weekend they might be out of the title race. I've got a feeling they're dropping points again at Fulham. You look at Fulham so far this season, right? I'm sure Man United, Brighton, Arsenal, Spurs, I'm sure all of these teams did not expect to lose against Fulham this season. And when you look at Liverpool's matches against Fulham this season, right? In the leagues, you remember that game 4-3 to Liverpool? That was a crazy game. They nearly lost that one, right? Then we look at the League Cup, a cup which Fulham would have loved to have won, by the way. You look at the League Cup, I think they went through by one goal over two legs against Fulham. Fulham have been pulling off some decent wins. Like, I think that there could be a spanner in the works there. I don't think that game's straightforward.
I think City will drop points.
You think they'll drop points at some point? So therefore, if they do, are Liverpool still in a position to capitalise?
The question is how they drop points and how many they drop.
Because when we're looking at Liverpool, mate, three games in a row, struggling the way they are, it's not filling me with any confidence. No, and another thing is Anfield. looked nervous, mate. You could have, like, that crowd, that was not a stadium with full belief that we're going to, you know how Anfield, like with St. James sometimes, we will the ball into the back of the net. It really, it's just happening, yeah, whether you like it or not. Newcastle, when we played Anfield, it was a nightmare. That crowd was a shadow of what Newcastle faced earlier this season. So it feels like it's not even just the players, it's the whole ground.
They have been known for some miracles, right, in the past, though. I think that's the only caveat that I would say. And I have to say, if they do, by some miracle, get a result, but imagine if they win that game. Imagine it goes to extra time, they win that game against Atalanta. They're, all of that momentum and the positivity then goes into the league. There is absolutely a scenario, yeah, in which they are the ones that are pushing Man City.
Do you know, I sort of thought the opposite. When they lost 3-0 at Atalanta, I just thought, right, that's fine. They'll just focus on the league now. They're
really
bothered about,
mate,
that.
Same. And yet they looked shite there.
You've made the comparison already with Arsenal last season, between Liverpool and Arsenal last season. I think people have called Liverpool a vibes team this season. We were 100% a vibes team last season. And when you're a vibes team, when the vibes go bad, it creates a fucking stink. Mm-hmm. And I think teams like City can lose a game and then just get straight back on it because they're all about control. They're cold. They're clinical. When your whole thing has been, we're on the fucking good vibes train. Yeah. We're having a good time. When you have a bad time. And that's on a Thursday, and then you've got to go again on Sunday. It is very hard to reset that.
Especially for a Klopp who, let's be honest, he's a man motivator if he's anything. People run for a brick wall for him. And I've said for a long time that Jurgen Klopp may be even better than Pep, but we'll never know because their checkbooks aren't the same. However, as much as I support that, and even though I don't really like the guy that much, the criticisms of Jurgen Klopp are quite interesting now to look back on, now that his time at Liverpool is concluding. Because when you talk about is a miracle possible, I thought, the story writes itself. But in reality, the two big trophies that Liverpool have won under Jurgen Klopp, one of them, they were out of sight early on. And the pressure of performing in front of crowds and all of that wasn't there, right? So they were gone. The title was sewn up with a total lack of pressure because City had imploded before there was even a chance to have a threat. The final, Liverpool turned up against Spurs. Spurs didn't turn up at all. You score in the first 5 minutes, pressure's calmed right down again.
I know you, by the way.
Cool
player out there. Dubious one as well.
No, the pressure's calmed down again. So in terms of like clawing something back, I'm not sure we've seen that in the legacy of Klopp in terms of one-off games. You know, we remember the Dortmund game, we remember Barcelona and all that, but in terms of like the position they've been in, the two main trophies, and actually there's a world in which this is a little bit of a disaster, in my opinion, given the fact that they were on for, and I'm sure Liverpool fans are probably feeling that way, they were on for 3 or 4 trophies. And now Jurgen Klopp, in his final season, where we're thinking of the legacy that he could pull off, he could end up with third and a League Cup, which, let's remember, was Ten Hag's last season.
Yeah.
So
let me
ask you that then. And I know it's controversial. People get upset and emotional about things like this. But Klopp, how long has he been there? Almost, what, 8 years?
Yeah. 9 or something like
almost
that.
Almost 9 years. Yeah. So you're saying one Champions League against Spurs and a COVID Premier League. All right, it's harsh, but a Premier League title and one Champions League in 9 years. Mm. Can we even call this Liverpool team anywhere close to a dynasty?
I've actually got someone wrote this tweet. I thought I'd read out to you to see what impact this gives on you, because it's quite impactful. After 9 years, Jurgen Klopp will leave with the same number of Champions Leagues as Roberto Di Matteo, the same number of Premier Leagues as Claudio Ranieri, the same number of FA Cups as Roberto Martinez, the same number of League Cups as Martin O'Neill. Like, I'm not trying to, that's not my words, right? I'm just reading it. But when you read it, you're like, you're a great manager and you had a hell of a force in your way. So I do empathise with that, but it is quite surprising.
There is an asterisk here though, isn't there? With Man City, yeah, with all of the charges going on. Like, it was one point in that league. Like, we're talking constantly about throwing these stats out.
100%.
Liverpool could have had 2 or 3 more titles.
100, mate, fucking Klopp left Dortmund to escape the Bundesliga, walked into the Premier League and found another fucking Bundesliga.
Do you know what? I can counter that.
Go on.
I genuinely think the whole context of everything changes if there is no Man City and Pep there against Klopp. I think that brings the best out of Klopp and allows them to get to these points totals and perform at the level they're performing at. If there is no Pep to do that, We don't know. It's almost like you got the Ronaldo or Messi or the Federer and Nadal. Like, these people, they're great in their own respect, but they also bring the best out of these people to push them to these levels.
But I think if, like, Federer and Nadal, if Federer was on drugs, Nadal might be going, you brought the best out of me, but I wish I could have won some fucking trophies. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
When one of those, like, if it was Ronaldo and Messi, but Messi was on growth hormones, was he? Then maybe, then maybe Ronaldo would be like, you know what, this is a bit unfair. I hear what you're saying. What you can say 100% about Liverpool, they've got some fucking crazy points totals without winning league tables, and I just think for Klopp, man, he's going to walk away from this and look back at the last 10 years nearly and go, what could have been if it wasn't for those 117 charges? And by the way, we're going to talk about Arsenal in a minute, and I'm not going to mention those fucking charges once, because right now, in the running, with 10 league games to go, financial charges weren't the reason that they lost at 1-0 at home to Palace. That is not the reason.
10?
What did you say?
They got 10 league games.
No, I mean in the running. Oh. They've not cocked up the running because of those. With 10 league games to go,
it's a fair play.
The transfers have been the transfers. People have bought the players. You've got what you've got, and everyone's having a fucking go now, right? And so... I don't know what you say with Klopp. For me, if we're doing the Klopp and Guardiola comparison and talking about legacy, I think what it's really a victory for is the way that Guardiola plays football, right? I remember the game in the Etihad between Arsenal and City a few weeks ago, and everyone comes out of that going, oh, it's boring, God, it's just like watching chess, isn't it? Yeah, fucking guess what? Because we're sat here right now going, yeah, Klopp's players, they run through brick walls for him. And guess what they look like? They've all got fucking brick in their hair and they can't walk. Do you know what I mean? There's a reason City play this way. There's a reason City don't get as many injuries, because it's control, because it's chill, because, like, you'll know this, Joey, right? As a boxer, you'll know this. The guys who try and go in every first round and try and just fucking throw haymakers and get knocked out, or do a fucking Dave Allen White Rhino and just walk out with their chin, you get punched.
And also,
that's been Liverpool all season.
Well, they play risky football for sure. It's aggressive and it does leave gaps, and we've seen that, and we knew that this was a possibility,
and it's entertaining, and we all love watching it. I love watching Liverpool on Match of the Day. I love it. But you know what? I'm glad that we don't play football like that as Arsenal, because I don't think, especially against a Pep Guardiola team, it takes so much to beat them, and you have to pay.
I don't think, though, that Jurgen Klopp will walk away and look back with any sort of resentment at the fact that he didn't win more, because I think that the elephant in the room there is Man City. You had Man City there. Now, if Arsenal go and win this league title this year, then that all changes, because then someone else has done it. But there's almost closure and comfort in the fact that it was just Man City that did it. And despite the fact you're saying that Klopp was elevated by the presence of Pep, I do also think it is as simple as, if you take Pep out of the picture and you say Man City had a different manager, do Man City win as much? They still win a fair bit, but they don't win as much, and it's a bit more spread out evenly.
Not only that, though, there was last week, Jacob sat here, by the way, and said there was a 95% correlation between wage bill and who wins the league, or where you finish in the league, right?
Do you know the 5%? Man United.
Yeah. But by the way, Liverpool spend £70 million less a year on wages than Man City. They spend £25 million a year less than Arsenal. So for them to be there and to say, oh, it's, you know, the blood and guts way that Jurgen Klopp plays football. Like, you know, they've had consistently, year on year, they've been spending less than these top teams, and yet they've still been in it.
No one ever takes that into consideration with Spurs. When I say, oh, we're not getting it, no one takes the wage bill into consideration when it comes to other sort of teams
I'll do it for you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, because we don't spend a lot on wages, but then everyone goes, well, you're still shit, you ain't won anything, you ain't done anything. People like to pick and choose with those things. My only thing is, right, like we said, how many trophies has Klopp won in his tenure? In total?
Major or
just all of them, all of them.
About six or something?
Six. So in 18 months, Pep's basically won the same amount. He won three last year.
Yeah, but they've cheated.
We don't know that until they've been found guilty.
Allegedly.
I'm willing to bet that they've cheated.
Oh, they fucking cheated.
Until proven guilty.
Why isn't there an asterisk?
What do you mean?
Over Man City's legacy in the last 10 years?
No, if they're found guilty, yes, there will be an asterisk. 100% there will be. That's not debatable. But I still think, you know, even if that money's spent, right, and even if they get the players they have, but they have a different manager, they won't achieve the same things. Pep Guardiola needs that credit. Yeah. We can't discredit what Pep Guardiola has done, because the reality is, If they go and win a treble this season and do back-to-back trebles, has that even ever been done in European football, let alone in the UK?
That's why Man United fans are shitting themselves.
But I don't think that's ever been done.
Because
that's
the
Man United
fans have got no comeback.
Do you know what?
Hold on.
It's scary.
And then you've got players like Foden, right, who wasn't bought, is homegrown, and now has been coached, and is now becoming the player we were talking about towards the end of last season, maybe this season.
Yeah.
He's almost becoming the talisman for the team.
Look, they were
able to rest him. Yeah, that was crazy.
We all agree on the greatness of Pep Guardiola, but let's kid ourselves as to why he's there. He's there because he knows he gets all of the funds, all of the money.
Yeah.
By the way, they're going to give him all the money as well that he needs to sign the contract.
But then there's other teams that spend just like, look at Chelsea.
Yeah, but in reality, though, if we're comparing City, I don't know, over the last however many years, what they went and did in the platform they built early on, they stockpiled so much talent so that they could keep selling and keep, you know, all these new sponsorships. Like, if you look at the money made, Man City are far and away the biggest club in world football, which we know they're not.
And they also did the very smart thing of not just investing in players, but they invested in the backroom staff.
Before
Guardiola even came, they made sure they had all of Barca's backroom staff ready to work with him.
Yeah.
They've got about seven other clubs around the world that they can get players
from. Their kids' training ground is better than Newcastle's first team training.
How long did they know that Pep was coming for? They would have known that 2 years before he came.
Shrewd businessman.
Not just planned for it 2 years before he came. Known. They would have known behind the scenes that he's coming, right? Liverpool, we don't know who's in the dugout next season. And that shows everything when you're talking about infrastructure there. That's just one thing that exposes how big it is, the Gulf. Not just Liverpool, by the way. All clubs.
Everything here is facts, but there is a little bit of bitterness, right? And I don't mean from you guys per se, but I just mean people in general. Because the reality is, anyone else's club, given that situation, even Newcastle, if Newcastle had that platform to go and do it, you're not going to argue with
right? We do, which is not...
If you were allowed, are you going to go, don't do that, guys? No, we need to do it the proper way and be honourable.
Because I put this tweet out yesterday of like, right, so you're telling me that the FFP rules deliberately were instigated to stop Newcastle from spending a shitload of money, all the money that we have, so that Man City could win their fourth league title in a row, potentially back-to-back trebles, so that we can keep competitive football in play.
Mm.
Like, obviously, it's just laughable. Mm. But I get, like, the idea was in future it will become more competitive, but it's like, what are we watching, man? Like,
Man City,
do they even, like, could they drop a league title? Yeah, they could drop our league title.
Mm.
Do any of us expect them to drop two out of the next three? I doubt it.
Two out of the next five?
But why would Pep
go? He's not going to go.
But Pep doesn't want to go because he's literally got his checkbook and he can literally... He's never going to have it as easy.
This is
the easiest job in football for him.
And this isn't just an English problem anymore, by the way. Like, what you're saying about them winning back-to-back trebles, at some point Europe are going to wake up and go, hang on a minute, fuck this. Like, what?
It's too late though because everything is like when you look at the Man City situation, they've built it so perfectly and stockpiling all the talent so that their FFP stay the way it is. Having all these different sponsors who wherever you know the company houses are and all of that, they're now in a really unbreakable position that they can maintain dominance. So the argument for FFP, while it makes sense, it's not standing up to reality while you're holding Newcastle back while Man City are reigning like juiced up the fuck and we're sitting with our laboratory ready to roll. So I do think it's going to take, you're going to need an apex predator to stop the apex predator. And I said that originally and people thought, you're only saying that because it's Newcastle. But it's just, I get why people would think that, but it's also just logical. Like, it's so comfortable for Man City season after season. Mm. Like, we've never seen four titles in a row. We've never seen an English club do back-to-back trebles. That could easily happen.
If the punishments do come in and Man City do have titles and trophies stripped of them, even if they did, I still don't think it really means anything because there'll always be people like myself that are go, yeah, but I saw it. It happened.
What if you relegate them and they do exactly what other teams have done before, come right back up and win the fucking league the next year? Mm. Like, so what?
But I do disagree with your point about the apex predator.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? To use this metaphor, imagine you're in Jurassic Park, the T-Rex goes out and starts fucking killing people. You go, right, let's get another T-Rex. It's like, no, let's just put the T-rex away. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Isn't that the plot of the other Jurassic Park games?
It's like,
I know
it's not possible, though.
I know you wear a T-Rex T-shirt, but the point is you can't just let Paul them out.
Why not?
It is in Europe.
I've just explained, right? Man City have built that club so perfectly that it's bulletproof now. So even if you punish them by relegating them for one season, what happens logically? They come back the next season, they win the title that season. So you're not going to be able, because it's so well built from the top down.
Well, you don't think players will jump ship if they were to get relegated?
For one season, when they're in a contract for a 5 to 6 year contract.
Will they?
If they're paid.
By the way, your pay stays the same, nothing changes. we've got so much money.
Erling Haaland versus Birmingham.
Yeah, no, but let's think about it. League two player.
Someone said that recently.
City are pretty unbreakable. So you know, as much as it's possible that Arsenal could nick our league title off of them, if they don't, and Arteta goes to Barcelona or whatever happens, that time is gone. And now, so who's managing Liverpool at that point? You know,
we have it in Europe, though. We have an apex predator in Europe right now, and it's Real Madrid, because you got Mbappe going there next season.
Yeah, that's true.
Bellingham's there. Vinicius Jr.'s there. There's an argument to say, like, a lot of the players there are better than the players at Man City, to be honest. So, yeah, okay, in the league, and we are talking about the league right now, it's going to be difficult. But in terms of them winning trebles all the time,
but
winning
Champions
League. But
that's about investment, though. Real Madrid have been able to invest an incredible amount of money.
Their bigger cheat is their Man City, Real Madrid.
But this is the thing.
You've just proved your own
point. That's the point. So Arsenal should be aspiring to be Real Madrid.
So what I've been saying is, in order to stop Man City, you need another apex predator. You've literally just explained that the only hope we've got is in Europe, and that's Real Madrid, the other biggest cheat as well.
PSG or whatever.
Whether it's Newcastle or any club is irrelevant. The point is the only way to stop a giant like that is to spend significant amounts of money. Otherwise, yeah, you might nick one with Arsenal or Liverpool one-off season, but this is the way it's going to be.
So then when Pep Guardiola leaves, right, whatever manager comes in, do you think it's just clockwork?
Well, that's why you get a bit of hope back. No. But equally, every manager who then takes over that club, you have the best
great
Formula One car.
Yeah.
You have the best car. Mm. So as much as like top managers do make differences, and we've seen Klopp made up one season, I just don't see how it's going to change that much without another Formula One car to compete.
Mm. Do you know if that punishment did come at the end of this season, just before the end of the season, let's say hypothetically, as silly as it might sound, they relegated Man City, I guarantee you Klopp goes, do you know what, I could probably do one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could probably do one.
I don't feel quite as tired anymore. Actually. Right. I've had a coffee. I feel all right.